Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
As I write this today, it is in the hope that my experience will help someone. I must admit that my story is unusual, and I know most of you won't believe it. But, at least, I will be able to look at myself in the mirror, knowing I did everything in my power to save innocent people. To make sense, I guess I should start from the beginning, the moment I first met Emiko. The first time I met her was outside my front door. A few days before, I had posted an ad on Craigslist to find a roommate. I didn't enjoy sharing my living space, but I'm a student and my family can't afford to help pay for my tuition or rent. So I had to be creative to make and save money. I needed someone to pay half the rent. My apartment was situated in Paris, had two bedrooms, and was close to the transportation and several shops. Not long after I posted the ad, my inbox was almost full of all the emails I received. To be honest, I was not intending to open them all. I did not want to spend hours or even days going through each message. So, to start with, I opted for a first-come, first-serve approach, which was not effective. I don't know if people were lazy or because the offer was so interesting, but all the emails I opened were the same. "Hey, I just saw your ad on Craigslist, and I'm interested. Looking forward to hearing from you." I quickly got bored, reading almost the same thing over and over. So, I went to the kitchen to grab some snacks and coffee to help me get through this boring task. When I sat back in front of my laptop, I noticed that an email had just arrived, and the address directly caught my attention. Emiko.Shibata at Asianet. At Asianet.jp. It was not an address I'd seen before, but the name of the person let me know that the sender was a Japanese woman. It made me even more eager to open the email. You see, since my childhood, I was obsessed with everything that had to do with Japan. Japanese history, culture and gastronomy were always a passion of mine, so much so that I was slowly learning the language, intending to travel to Japan in the future and finally visit the country that I loved dearly without even setting foot in it. I quickly clicked on the email, hoping to not be disappointed by its contents. I was not. The email in front of me was long, but well written, and reading it, I learned a lot about Emiko. She was 24, just a bit older than me. She came to Paris so she could go to art school in the country that, for her, represented art the best. That made me smile, to know she was interested in my country as I was in hers. And to top it all, she had added some pictures of her that she took during several trips in different regions of Japan. I was astonished by her beauty. She was tall, her eyes and smile were beautiful, and she seemed genuinely nice. But what caught my attention was her hair. It was breathtaking. It was dark, thick, and fell down to her upper thighs. In one picture, she was in the middle of a forest. The rust color of the trees and the leaves flying around her left no doubt about the season, and her hair flowed in a way that seemed to have a mind of its own. When I was done reading her email and looking at the pictures over and over, I just wanted to know more about her and, who knew, become good friends who share common interests. I replied with a time and date for her to come and visit my apartment, and to my great pleasure, she agreed to it. The day finally arrived, and when I opened my door, I was surprised to see that she was even more beautiful than in the pictures, and she seemed even nicer. I greeted her with a big smile, and we started to chat as if we had known each other for years. She spoke French almost fluently, and her accent only added to her charm. After that, I gave her a tour of the apartment. She loved it, and that's how Emiko and I became roommates. It's been a year since then, and just as I suspected, our friendship only grew during that time. Emiko was easygoing and a delight to live with. She did her share of the chores, she was discreet, and the cherry on the cake was that she didn't mind spending hours talking about Japan and the little village she came from in the region of Nagano. But what I enjoyed the most were all the delicious meals she cooked for us every day. She loved to cook, but strangely, she ate like a bird. I often teased her about it, saying that her appetite was as small as a mouth, and having a great sense of humour, she always laughed, before saying that by my logic, my big mouth was in no doubt the reason I ate that much. I guess that by now, you are wondering what I've just told you has to do with the warning I said I was going to give you. Well, once you hear the rest, everything will fall into place. Because, as great as Emiko was, there was always something that felt weird to me. She was incapable of keeping a relationship. Every few weeks, she brought home a new guy, and what was even weirder was that she seemed happy with them, and they seemed completely mesmerized by her. I could not understand why she broke up with each guy so quickly and so suddenly. At first, every time she broke up, I would ask her why. She always gave me the same answer, that things simply did not work out. Each time, she seemed so uncomfortable that I just stopped asking. A while afterward, I discovered exactly why none of her relationships lasted. Everything happened during summer break. As usual, I decided to go back to my hometown and spend the holidays with my family. I talked to Emiko about my plan, and she seemed sad to see me go, but she quickly shot a joke about how I would allow her to paint half naked while in the living room while listening to loud classical music. I left and had a wonderful time with my family, but during my stay, I felt guilty leaving Emiko all by herself, as if I knew I was her only friend. So, I decided to surprise her and go back to our place on the afternoon of December 31st, just in time for New Year's Eve. When I arrived home, I called her name, but she wasn't there. I assumed she'd gone shopping and would spend the evening to cook one of her lovely meals. As I entered the living room, I saw that Emiko kept her word. Her paintings were drying, and they were all paintings of her exes. At first, I found that strange, but we all have ways of getting over our exes, right? After contemplating her beautiful work, I went to my room to unpack while I waited for her to come back. And as I was finishing, I heard the elevator stopping at our floor. Without thinking twice, I ran to Emiko's bedroom and hid under a bed so I could scare her and make the surprise even more memorable. I heard her enter the apartment and close the door behind her. I knew she always took off her shoes before going to her room to put a jacket inside her wardrobe, and it would be the perfect moment for me to suddenly jump out of my hiding place. As I was getting ready to jump out, I saw Emiko, in the reflection of the standing mirror next to her bed, enter the room with a guy, kissing him passionately. It was Eric, the guy Emiko was dating before I left. I completely froze when I saw them. I did not know what to do. If I just popped from under the bed, they'd think I was crazy. But if I waited and got caught, after they started to do God knows what, they'd think I was a freak. As a million scenarios went through my head, I kept looking from time to time in the mirror, trying to find a way to get out of here without being seen. But unfortunately, there was none. I had to be brave and take responsibility for my childish attempt to scare Emiko, even if it meant I would look like a complete fool in front of her and her boyfriend. As I was gathering the courage to move, I checked the mirror one last time. But something strange caught my attention. Emiko and Eric were still kissing. Eric had his hands on her hips, and Emiko had hers around his neck, with her back to the mirror. But strangely, her hair was moving, as if someone was combing through it. I could not wrap my mind around it. Was it possible? They were both already busy holding each other. I kept looking at the mirror, squinting, and I nearly yelled when I understood what was going on with the hair. It was moving on its own, and as it parted on either side, Over her shoulders, it unveiled a mouth on a scalp. A huge mouth filled with sharp, crooked teeth and a thin, pointed tongue. Petrified by what I was witnessing, I did not move when a hair wrapped itself around Eric's neck and his wrists before tightening around it. The poor guy did not even have time to do anything, not even to scream as Emiko's hair strangled him. He faced the mirror, and I saw his scared, confused face before the last glimmer of life completely disappeared from his eyes. I clamped my hand over my mouth to keep my cries inside, to avoid being seen. But what I saw next was so chilling, I doubt that I would have been able to make any sound. Emiko's hair just lifted Eric's body in the air, and her second mouth opened so wide, it looked like someone had struck on the back of the head with a hatchet, splitting it in two. Her hair started to put Eric's head inside the mouth, as it chewed away with a disgusting, wet sound. It fed him in, bit by bit, until Eric's corpse disappeared completely. After that, the mouth simply closed and Emiko's hair fell back into place, leaving no trace of the horror it hid. I stayed, motionless, shocked, but also petrified that I could meet the same end if I was discovered. As my body shook still, Emiko turned around, tears running down her cheeks, before she left the room and closed the door behind her. Still hidden, I stayed under the bed, praying she wouldn't go to my room and discover that I came back early from my trip. Minutes felt like hours, and my heart thudded as my mind replayed Eric's death time and again. I heard the front door open and close. Emiko was not in the apartment anymore. I left the bedroom as quickly as I could and went to the bathroom and splashed water on my face. I knew she could come back at any minute, and I'd have to act as if nothing happened. After I could breathe normally again, I went to the living room and waited for her to come back. What I really wanted, though, was to get out of there and never come back. When she did come back, she seemed genuinely happy to see me, but she asked me several times how long I've been home. Of course, I lied. I don't know how I did it, but I managed to see the new year in with her before telling her I was tired and was going to my room. I spent the entire night searching the internet, looking for someone with the same experience as mine. After all the research, I think I know what Emiko is. I think she's a Futagochiana, according to one of those websites I visited. A Futagochiana is a beautiful woman who has a tiny mouth and an appetite just as small. But at the back of her head, she has a huge second mouth hidden under her hair. Although she appears to eat little to no food, the mouth on the back of her head is always hungry. It is said that the second mouth also has a mind of its own and whispers horrible things to the woman. It threatens her, harasses her, and demands food frequently. It can screech and cause the poor woman afflicted with this curse an unbearable amount of pain until it is fed. The mouth can also control her hair and make it wrap around the food before shoveling it inside its mouth. The mouth helps itself to its desired meal and eats an astronomical amount of food. After reading that, I remembered that Emiko was crying after a second mouth ate Eric. Everything was clear. Emiko had to find food for the monstrosity she had at the back of her head if she did not want to be persecuted and tortured by it. Now I understood. I felt pity, not fear, for Emiko. I knew why she was always so kind and joyful. She was trying to compensate for the horrible things she had to do for the monster that was using her body. And I could not decently abandon her to her misery. I was her only friend. If she really wanted to hurt me, she would have done it by now. Anyway, it is not me I'm worried about, but you. Because Emiko is planning a trip to visit several countries around the world during the summer vacation. So be careful. If you see a young, beautiful Japanese woman with luscious long hair and a small appetite, do not engage with her. Because as nice and thoughtful as she is, you won't know what she truly is before it's too late.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: Startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.